Welcome to Married to Who, a podcast where a couple of couples watch Doctor Who for the very first time. My name is Jake. With me are those couples, Cody, Sam, Jill, and Alex. Terry is here as well. This week, we're here to talk about episode 2 in Shudigawa's second season as the Doctor, Lux, written by RTD, directed by Amanda Brachi, or Brochi, I don't know, aired April 19th, 2025. Before we get started, it's time for everybody's favorite podcast segment, Cody's 25-second plot synopsis. Item market to go!
Cut to a theater, family eating popcorn, movie on the screen, movie comes out of the screen, cut away from the theater, the Doctor arrives. They want to leave. It's the 50s and there's a lot of racism going around. Cut to the diner. Don't go in there. There's a family. They go in there. Oh, God, the family's gone. The cartoon's here. It's a god. It's the moonlight. And then the god's like, I'm going to eat all the light. There's an explosion. The god goes away and everybody's fine.
Stop talking.
And everybody's fine. And they all leave and they get back in the TARDIS. And
everything you're saying is getting cut out.
I'm going to cut it back in.
I think we need a new intro when all of us are watching it for the very first time.
Eh, you know, it's all automated at this point. Hey, Terry.
Hey, what?
What'd you think of this one?
I enjoyed it. I'm always a huge fan of the gods, and I was glad to see another one.
All right, write that down. Terry loves gods.
Yeah.
Terry loves gods. I already had it written down. It's right here.
Yeah. Common knowledge.
Cody, what'd you think?
This is a garbage episode.
Oh.
Everywhere you turn is an ex machina. Just, why is that there? Cuz? Anyway.
Sam?
It was entertaining, and I'd watch this 100 times over Old Who.
God, you would. You rompy people.
Jill?
I feel the same way as Sam. I really liked it. I like romps. Ooh, the music was fantastic. Like, just the sound effects and music in general. It's what I was looking for. I love the costumes. I loved a lot of it. I watched it twice, and I would watch it again. I almost did, but then I ran out of time.
Nice.
What you said was you liked it. What you meant was Alan Cumming is a genius and can literally do no wrong.
Alex.
I think this is the best episode of the season so far. Bada boom.
Out of the two?
Yep. They're on an upward trajectory. It's crazy. Hey, judging off last season, you know, it wasn't the same.
Stay tuned for this episode. It's going to get heated.
Episode 2 last season was the Devil's Chord. That seems to be the minor god of the season episode leading into the big bad god at the end.
Oh, extraordinary episode with a god that has some depth that is actually defeated by means of making sense.
No, this is Russell T. Davies we're talking about. It's going to be some reference to an old Doctor Who episode you never heard of. It's going to be a cartoon, and they'll solve it by throwing a leash around his neck. It'll be great. And they'll be like, she's called Ruby because we pointed at that sign in this old videotape.
It literally has anything.
So shallow.
Ha ha, gotcha.
Terry?
Jake? Oh, it is Terry's turn.
Jill?
Didn't have a turn yet.
Alex.
Simon? Oh, wait, Cody. We don't have one of those.
Mr. Ring-a-ding.
Jake, what'd you think?
I liked it. I was kind of reluctant to watch it. I watched it right before recording just to make sure it's fresh in my mind.
Same.
And I was a little reluctant to watch it just because even though it's good, it's like every scene, and I made this complaint through most of the episodes last season, every scene is like 40 seconds too long. Like, they make the point and then just like have to like do it again for some reason. The scene with the fans when they come out of the TV, that's 2 minutes too long. It's just it just drags. Like, we get it, guys. But I guess, you know, paid these people to come here, might as well get them to work. I don't know.
You can see yourself on the screen.
Yeah.
It is you as a fan on the screen.
It's not me as a fan because their Doctor Who DVDs in the background were out of order. I would never do that.
Oh, Jake just pausing it to look at everything.
But he is annoying everybody.
Oh, yeah. Man, that redhead girl, she looks so familiar. And I looked her up and she's been in nothing. She was in like one episode of Years and Years. And I doubt that's what I was thinking.
Is that a show?
Yeah, it's a show you've seen, Sam. Fuck.
What, Years and Years?
Yeah, you're the only person I've ever talked to about it, because you're the only person I know who's seen it. We'll talk about it later. Steph, go.
Terry, what'd you think?
I went first.
Terry was first.
I like gods.
That's it's a running gag now that is totally a joke and not me forgetting we asked Terry.
Cody doesn't listen to the pod. It's fine.
I exclusively might be the only one who listens to the pod. Fuck!
I listen to it on my computer when editing it for days and days. Yeah. You guys all
I'm so sorry.
Gotta take all that racist shit you guys say out.
I do wait.
Oh, no.
I do wait like a week to listen to it. And then I listen to it. Yo, nobody in this world was more excited than me when Lux introduced himself as one of the Pantheon. I sunk into my seat and I was like, let's fucking go. We took the long way around and we exited that little canon arc. And then we came right back for this cool as shit cartoon popping out of the screen. Alan Cumming, outstanding character, amazing.
This episode name that you the didn't other like?
Doctor Who episode he was in.
Oh, no.
I got the one last week right.
The Witchcraft.
Close. Witchfinders.
Witchfinders.
Wow. Look, give you that. Go.
What was that one about?
Alan Cumming.
Finding witches? Yeah. Come on.
Oh, Jesus. Come on. Is Doctor Who?
No, was that a Jodie episode?
He plays the king. King James?
Is that the one where they're like doing plays?
No, it's the one where they... There's like the mud monster lady. And they're like...
Yeah, it's the Jodie. They think the doctor's Jodie episode, a witch. Right?
Yeah, it's Jodie.
Sam
yeah.
doesn't watch
she,
Doctor
she
Who.
She gets dunked.
For sure, Jody's I've never seen season. This show in my life.
I just wanted to get that out before I go into a real negative tirade. The Black Mirror portion of the Doctor Who fandom when they put them into the reels was just great and fun and seemed like they were doing something to Shooty. Like, this is Shooty's last season, right? Like, we know he's leaving.
Well, they didn't know it when they were shooting it or writing it.
Oh, okay. Like,
but it seems more than likely that they went in and did some reshoots later to shoot at least part of a regeneration scene.
I don't understand why they were like clipping back while the Doctor Who fans were just glazing him. And then they're just like, look, he's crying. And then they go back to the glazing Doctor Who fans. And then they go back, and the tear is farther down his face.
Okay, that's no one's gonna be able to hear that. You have to talk into the microphone.
That's the part that you hated?
No, like, I never said I hated the episode. I said the episode was garbage.
And I don't know what you mean by they were glazing him.
Oh.
I don't know what that word means.
Interesting.
Yeah. Skibbity it down for us here.
It's not even skibbity. Like, your assault, it just bounces off right here. You know what the fuck glazing means, man? Crash out, bro. Don't talk.
Well, when it comes to a, there like a window.
Many different forms of glazing. So
yeah, okay, Terry.
Terry, you leave your lifestyle out of this.
Let's not make inferences based upon our own personal experiences. But glazing is when you like pick a particular individual and you just say the nicest possible things about them, void of sincerity.
Interesting.
I don't know if they were insincere, though. Like, those were fans,
no,
like, created because of the fandom.
No, but a word can mean different things in different contexts. So that is, like, the specific definition of glazing. It's a useful term in this situation. It doesn't need to explicitly
state that. And the reason he was crying is because they were describing their imminent deaths. Or ceasing to exist in this brief moment where they suddenly had life.
It, why is he smiling? What? That's not what I interpreted. I thought he was just so taken aback by how much love these folks have for who he is.
It was definitely the death thing. Because he knew it.
I did expect a comment. Sorry, Terry, but before you get there, I expected a comment by the fans when he rolls a tear, because the fans do talk about that so much. And that's an issue with the fact that they shot this before season one had aired. If season one had aired, then one of those fans would have gone, oh, there it is. Oh. There's the tear.
RTD obliterated the scene. They had a post-cut scene where they're alive and fine.
It was... Also, you thought the doctor was crying because they're obsessed with him?
Not, well, I mean, sure. He's I don't think anybody cries when they find out anybody's obsessed with something. But if somebody's in the room saying, like, I love you for these reasons, that would be touching.
He's seeing the birth and death of these people, basically.
He thinks.
They aren't real.
That's a clue at the end that the magic of the gods is still there, that we are still going to get a big bad at the end. These things are still alive. And maybe spurs on the theory that this entire two-season run, we're actually in an alternate universe. And there's some little Easter eggs in this story that we could point to later. But Terry, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
I forgot it.
Damn.
All right.
Yeah, you can't just be interrupting Terry. You got to let him get that out.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
I didn't know.
Terry's thoughts are so ephemeral. They're there that they're gone.
Yeah. You missed out on a gem.
I would say we missed out.
I mean, it wasn't about blazing, was it?
No.
All right, Joe, give me some.
Well, all of those thoughts were much too deep for where I'm at in my podcast journey right now.
Bring us back up. Tonight. Bring us back up, Jill. We need to be...
We like the shallow.
We need to get back up in that Mary Doo crust.
Okay, so one of my complaints in the last episode was just, like, I liked Belinda a lot. Like, I liked her as a character, whatever, but then I hated the end of her, like, being like, no, doctor, you're an asshole, and whatever, and him just being like, okay... And, like, that just all felt weird to me. So it was really fun to see their development in this story. Like, I really felt like they were truly, like, companions, like, learning through it, thinking through it together. I think they had to be together more because of, like, the age, like, because they're in the 50s. Mm-hmm. You couldn't really split up and do stuff. Like, they kind of needed each other for that. And I felt like there was just, like, a lot of growth and development in them as a team throughout the story, and I loved their dynamic.
We get to see her like learn what the doctor's all about. Like, oh, it wasn't just like a one-off thing that we had like this adventure.
Yeah, and she made a couple comments too about like, oh, you've done this forever, and like, and then him talking a little bit about Gallifrey without it being like an invasive conversation. Like, I thought everything was like just done really well. to that extent where he's like, you know, I can't go back, whatever. But it, like, he didn't present it as like a poor me, my life is terrible and you should feel bad. Like, he very much respected her opinion in the previous episode and just like let that develop naturally for her. And I really like that.
They had some trauma bonding. That's what
this doctor's supposed to be, is because he's supposed to have dealt with his trauma and is, you know, not just like okay with it, like it's okay to still be sad, but has like learned to be a person beyond it. Yeah, I like Belinda in this one too, especially when she goes, "I'm Belinda, this is the doctor, is that right? That's all it is?" Ridiculous.
And then she calls him Doc at some point. Have we heard that before? I feel like we haven't heard him referred to as Doc.
I feel like, wasn't it like Graham an old did. Who?
Graham called him Doc. Graham called her Doc.
Speaking of a fun character, didn't they do it in like old Who? Didn't he get called Doc at one point?
A couple people did, especially like...
was it Ian? For some reason, I want to say Ian.
No, did. I think Steven did a couple times. Steve.
Bloodthirsty Ian? He would.
No, Ian would never. Come on.
Okay, character development. Back to today. When they were 2D and turning into 3D and 4D, and they're like, oh, we're getting depth from talking about ourselves.
Oh, no, please.
Sorry.
Don't subject me to this again.
Well, they came out of the TV screen thing, which makes them 4D. They're real.
They were always real.
They were always real.
Right?
Says Terry.
Anyways.
You could say they're outside of film, so they were progressing through time, which you could say is the fourth dimension.
You're welcome.
How does one grab the frame?
Anyways, back to my point.
Reach up?
Yeah.
Their depth development was not depthy enough for me. They're like, I'm from Gallifrey. Pop.
Depth.
Well, we don't have how right deep there. Did you want to go into it? So
it wasn't depth. It
this
was...
should have been.
But that's what RTD does. He creates characters that are so full of depth. And well, it's all bullshit.
Everything is. It just is because it is.
That part bothered me.
All of RTD's writing is like the script writing version of your parents telling because I said so.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. He's a good writer. It's just I'm not like trying to chastise RTD. I'm trying to chastise internet people who just repeat each other over and over again because none of them have any thoughts of their own.
That's fair.
I didn't mind it because if you think about it from the lens of new watchers, like they jumped on this season. It's some tidbits, but then it's also not beating the old heads over the head with it. So it's kind of like an in-between, I thought.
How about something new?
Well, we got some of that when they're talking about, like, can't we bring the TARDIS into the garage on Time Lordia? But just saying, like, in order to give a character... Like, we even get Mr. Ringending saying, I'm two dimensions, you can't expect me to have depth. or backstory, or whatever he says. And then, for them to get their backstory enough to become three-dimensional, they're just like, yeah, sometimes I'm sad. Okay, cool.
Why can't we make Mr. Ringending laugh? Why was that such a strong component that never became anything at all?
Did you not catch it?
I didn't, please.
He did the giggle. That was his laugh.
Yeah, the giggle.
That was the whole thing.
From the episode The Giggle.
The thing that I literally pointed out to you.
You remember
I remember you.
The giggle, the episode.
And that sign turned to say Harbinger.
Man, that was some bullshit. Either of them were outside. How did he know that happened?
So he didn't want
to
laugh.
And Rock Hudson was never in a movie called that.
It would give away that.
He's the Harbinger.
Yeah. That he's the Harbinger.
No, he's not the Harbinger. He is a god.
He's Lutch.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just there was the... The whole scenario was a harbinger of his being.
Boy, we're really...
Like, revealing himself, yeah.
We're wrapping this one up.
I got the quiz book ready.
No, I didn't mean that. I'm just like, This is a wild way to explain why we couldn't make him laugh.
I love
it. Oh, yeah. No, that was dumb as shit.
It's nice. No,
go ahead, Terry.
That you could. Oh, yep. Terry.
Nope. Too late. Go.
No, your thoughts now.
Or come on, guys. Or not.
Terry.
Yes, Jill.
It's your turn.
Oh, okay.
I was saying, yes, Cody, you're correct. Now you can talk, Terry.
Okay. Sorry. With the subject of like bringing to 3D and all that kind of stuff, I loved Mr. Ring-a-Ding when he started turning more 3D, like dimensional, from getting the energy from the doctor, and how dark the episode was getting, like all of the horror aspects to it. Like, he wasn't clean looking anymore. He was like something you find in a garbage can in an alley. It's like, oh my God, this is horrifying. Like, I also loved that.
That was a lot of fun.
Like, that direction was really good.
Everything about Mr. Ring-a-Ding is top tier.
I like too that, except, like, he got caught in his own film.
Yeah, there wasn't really a why is this a thing. I'm fine if the doctor has to like take a couple seconds to be like, well, you see, the time vortex keeps his brain melded with the, if he's gonna take the cartoon character, he needs to portray.
Well, we get a little bit of it in the projection room when they says like the gods have to follow the rules of the game. So like, if he's becoming manifest as this cartoon character, then he still has to follow the rules of that cartoon character. You could do that math in your head, although maybe you shouldn't have to.
I see. That's not bad. And I really love that that's part of the pantheon. And the doctor is using that as a weapon against him.
I thought it was hilarious with the exposition when they finally met him. And the doctor's like, all right, who are you? And then Belinda's like, he's not going to tell you. Like, why would he do that? And then he's like, he has to. Made me laugh.
Does it? Maybe I didn't see this much last season, but it feels like this season the directors came in and they're like, we need all of Shooty. This is all you. Anything you want to do. It feels like a less toned down like Shooty as the doctor.
Well, he's had a season under his belt. He, you know, the seasons aren't shot in order, so it's not until that whole season's like done, and maybe he got to see some episodes fully completed before they started shooting again. You know, they got a little bit of time off, not a ton. These are virtually shot back to back. But he has said in interviews that he was much more
energetic,
comfortable with the character.
Like, he's doing high kicks series and stuff in scenes, and just being a just crazy free dude.
Did anyone catch the cleavage shot?
Which one?
Yeah,
mostly the framework one. Like, just her arms were up. The whole in that dress was so like sweetheart cut. It was like, Jesus, she was going to just pop out of that dress.
I don't actually know who we're talking about.
Belinda.
I never felt that. I felt like she was well secured.
One of the three women in the story.
But did they pass the Schrader test?
No.
What's the test?
The Rorschach test?
Schrodinger.
Not Schrodinger.
Bechdel.
That's it.
Bechdel.
That's what we all said, Jake.
Bechdel test.
First try.
Well, if you think about it, the only time two women speak to each other is Belinda and the mom. And in the Bechdel test rules, they can't be talking about a man, and they are talking about the mom's son.
Who's only a boy.
Only a boy. The scene where she brings the officer down, I was so mad. And then the doctor's like, this ain't real. You're a New York cop, see? And
I got okay, real I nervous. That. I got real nervous they were going to drop a hard R in that scene.
Ooh, but come on.
Yeah. Then it was Disney. So I,
yeah, no, that would have been strong. And then they closed it. I was like, oh, thank God.
Wouldn't be the first hard R in Doctor Who.
Oh, are we coming up on that episode? Let's
rephrase that. Wouldn't be the first use of the N-word in Doctor Who. No, it happened a long time ago, and we talked about it in an episode that we didn't see because it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah,
for
they
reasons.
Casually lost that one without animating it.
Well, there's a first Doctor story where some kids in the background are doing like Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo, but like the original version.
Oh,
that has the N-word in it, yeah. And so like they're in the background, but you can hear them
today on. Hot tips. No, hot tips.
Today on not making it to the final cut.
Oh, no.
It was fun to see a little romp around the TARDIS, but I was really bummed that I, like, there was so much potential for showing more of the TARDIS when they were going into the closet or whatever, and just nothing. Like, just show
Even
some
a
really
different
cool
angle.
Closets. Yeah, there's a lot of potential.
The shot of them running through the middle door and then coming out the top door is exactly framed in the exact same way as when the Doctor and Ruby did it for the Devil's Cord when they land in the 60s and have to go change. It was the exact same shot framed in exactly the same way from the exact same spot. You have this giant fucking set. Put the camera over on the other side.
Definitely AI. They just replaced different. The faces.
That's Maybe. Maybe it's on purpose. Maybe we're going to see at the end that this is all a time loop and they're going to show those two scenes back to back and be like, see, you've just been doing the same thing over and over again.
Look at Jake.
But did they go schwump?
Oh, they went bump.
Is that going to be our next corkboard phrase? Because I'm good with it.
We don't have a corkboard.
Don't we?
We've never had a corkboard.
I wish we had a corkboard. We've had some real good ones.
So, Alex, your favorite episode, Tooth and Claw, anything in this remind you of that one?
Yeah, immediately when it showed the full moon, I was like, ooh, is it werewolves? I was so excited, and then it wasn't.
Oh, that whole scene, though, was so good.
Also written by RTD. Also involving, like, overloading the bad guy with light, which he uses to live.
Mm.
And in both of them, the Doctor says to the companion, you are a percentage water, but you can still drown. But he changes it. In Tooth and Claw, he says, we're 70% water, but we can still drown. And in this one, he says, we're 60% water, but we can still drown. Are we in an alternate universe where humans are made slightly less of water?
No, now we're just 10% microplastics.
What if that also plays into your time loop theory? Like, it's going to show
what I'm saying.
Tenet and this one together. Yeah. Ooh, creepy.
There's a lot of speculation that when Shudi regenerates, it's just going to be back into Tenet. And then they're going to wrap up whatever bullshit's happening.
The old tried and true.
Yep. But I caught that right away. Like, I heard him say 60%, and I was like, that's not right. You said 70% in 2006. And maybe he's learned. Maybe he was wrong then and realized it in the 20 years since. Maybe Mrs. Flood has sucked up 10% of all humans' waters.
Ooh,
now we're on to a real plot line.
And see, Jake, that's why we bring you to movie trivia, because you will hear a line and be like, oh, 25 years ago, I heard it differently.
Yeah. Autism.
Like, your spectrum is showing.
Speaking of wigging out, when they're in the TARDIS and the Doctor's putting together that Vindicator... He's, like, down on his knees. He's putting this thing together.
Hmm.
They suddenly start playing some very familiar-sounding music. And it took me a minute to clock, but first they play Little Amelia's theme song, or Little Amy. And then there's, in the series 5 finale, when Rory is an Auton and he shot Amy, he's sitting there holding her dead body and he says, God, I could sure do with a miracle right now. And then this like, doot, 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 and then the doctor pops up and it's like, Rory, it's okay. She's not dead. That they played that do, 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 do while he was just like talking to Belinda. And I was like, what? First of all, Murray Gold's reusing two completely different pieces of music and slamming them into each other. And why? What are they trying to tell us?
Where are the bodies?
You are a Doctor Who fan. Good God. This particular dot is red.
I was proud of myself because I never noticed music cues. I'm just like not a music person.
That's crazy.
That's incredible.
But it was on the wiki. The wiki did not catch the... The wiki said that the doctor had referenced humans being mostly water but still being able to drown, but didn't catch that the percentages were different. But it did catch this music, these two music cues, and the one is called Little Amy, and then the doo-doo-doos is called Amy's, I got it here, Amy's Starless Life.
Cool.
And it's a reference to Amy living in an alternate universe where the TARDIS had exploded and all the stars in the sky went out.
So what are you inferring from that?
That we're in an alternate universe.
Oh,
and we have been, smokes. We have been these whole two seasons, and the whole gods story is not the gods seeped into our universe. It's we went into a different one where they exist.
I'll put $10 on that. I'll also put $10 on RTD writing, just not being very canon.
So then where's the end of that? Like, do we go back to our universe and it's a completely different doctor? Like, it's not even Shooty, it's just someone else, and that's how they reveal the new...
It kind of sounds like it's going to be David Tennant.
Well, okay.
Really?
He just never stopped being the doctor?
Or... he still exists in the real universe, but somehow Shooty got shot off into the other one. That's why when Shooty's like in like our time, he doesn't go visit himself.
Because was the Toy Master the first one?
Yeah.
And that's when all this changeover happened?
That was when he was still Tennant.
So was the Toy Master just toying?
You can leave. We're done with you.
Why do you hate me?
That stuff does kind of go out the window because I think we get Rose, Donna's child, in this season still. Because I think they use the finale to kind of set up or at least introduce the characters that are going to be in the spinoff show. And she's in that.
Yeah, the spinoff in the other universe dimension.
Yeah.
Whatever.
This might be a stretch, but do you think the doctor trying to get to May 24th is actually him trying to get back to the other timeline and it's not letting him through? That's why he can't get there?
I think the reason he can't get there is because they don't want him to until the actual May 24th, which is when they'll get there.
Oh, all right.
Linder.
I mean, they've put up a bunch of like bullshit reasons why the doctor can't go to a certain date. Like, he can't go see Amy and Rory because they're like, he can't get to New York in 1950 or whatever that was. I mean, he could go to fucking like North Carolina and drive and go see them if he wanted to.
The doctor drive?
Or he could go to 1980 or 1971 and see them when they're old.
Sorry. Just Sam's comment of the doctor drive. I'm like, yeah, we just watched the doctor drive around in a car, like in Old Who, for a very long time.
Yeah, no one wants to see that.
I want to see that.
I mean,
redacted.
Spoiler alert, Terry. As soon as he gets the TARDIS back, that car goes bye-bye.
Wait, what's the car's name? Barbara?
Isn't it Who Probably. Won?
Bessie.
Oh, Bessie.
Yeah.
He does get a different car that Alex was just referencing, but we'll see that later. Hey, can I ask you guys a question?
No.
Sam, are we taking questions?
So at the end of the episode, Belinda says, those things we said when we were scared are still true. Let's go face them together. What the fuck is she talking about? I've seen this thing twice. I don't know what she means.
His scarediness of his Gallifreyan-ness? I don't know.
Maybe that'll be answered in tweets.
And then what did she say? What was her afraidiness? Oh, to not get home?
Nothing. It wasn't about them being afraid. It was about them being sad. But like, I don't know, maybe she's saying like, yes, we'll do the getting me home thing, but we can also do the you thing. I don't know. Made no fucking sense.
I thought it was in reference to the 2D scene that we talked about previously. I thought that was what she was referencing.
You mean the 4D scene?
Were they 4D at that point? Can you be 4D?
Not at that point.
When they are with the Doctor Who nerds, what the lady in the wheelchair says, like, isn't it obvious, like, you already said that film stock, old film stock explodes, or is explosive, like, it's obvious what the end is going to be. Nobody ever says that. Mr. Ring-a-Ding says film is flammable, and, like, pulls out, like, a little flame. It's like, oh, it'd be a shame if it burned. Never says it's explosive.
Did she say it's explosive? I thought she just said it's flammable.
She said this exact words in this exact order. Old film stock is explosive.
Oh.
Well, you know, it's a volume.
I mean, I got it. It was fine. It's not an absolute gotcha moment.
I just think there's either a scene was missing and they didn't, or like got cut, or the dialogue changed and they didn't fix it. Seems like shit like that's been happening a lot in these two episodes.
Did Mr. Pie survive the explosion?
I don't think so.
That's what Terry. I thought.
He's with his wife.
Did you see what happened?
Does that mean
Terry?
His wife ghost told him to kill himself?
That's what I took from it.
Yeah, to be together.
She said, come find me, and gave him the matches.
Yeah. It's like, okay. We all know what happened there.
I just want to make sure.
The only reason we can see parts fly through that wall is because it's a Disney show.
That was the other part of it. It's like, wow, they're really doing it. But they're also like adult figures, so those would disappear in adult films or Disney films. But so how did the people get out of the frames?
Who cares?
Okay.
That's the answer.
No one, like, that's the least important thing.
Like, I thought they would have burned up in the accident.
It was the sunlight. Sunlight released them. That's why they always had to be in darkness.
So the riddle
or just
was,
Lux leaving.
What does light never do?
It never leaves.
No, it's what does Lux never do, not light.
Go outside.
Which, there's probably a billion answers to that. It's not strictly go outside.
So I thought that
you ever played Chinese
light.
Checkers? We never see him do that.
Well, riddles are that, then. Though. Like, riddles don't specifically have one answer. Like, they have a bunch of answers, which is why they're frustrating.
Yeah, and by this point, people listening to this might be like, God, these guys sure complain a lot. We just don't have a lot to say. We all liked this story.
I'm defending it. I enjoyed the story. It was great.
Yeah, me too.
And we got to see Maestro again. Oh, so nice.
Maestro.
You can just watch that episode whenever you want.
I know. Hey, I thought about that today.
Dude, the tuning fork scene? Man.
Oh, and Mrs. Flood was here again.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's in every episode to be weird and tell you about May the 24th.
It's so strange to me that last series we had Mrs. Flood and she popped up a couple times, but always like in her where she lived. But then we had a different character that popped up in every episode, regardless of where we were in time and space. And now Mrs. Flood is doing that exact same thing. I
Is Mrs. Flood always staying 40 paces away from the doctor?
No.
73 yards.
73 yards.
And so far the series is formatted the same way. Like, we get the mini god in the second episode. RTD's original run, his stories are always formatted the same way. Like, you get a start a season with like contemporary, then go into the future, then the past, then like a sideways one, then get a two-parter, and then have like a two-part finale. Like, his structure for a season is very, like, always the same. And it seems like, so far this season's kind of a remake of the first season. Only two episodes in. See what happens.
There was no space babies. I'm good with it.
True.
What was the third episode last year? Was it Boom?
Yes. I think it was.
Because you could call that like a sequel to Blink in that it's a episode with four letters that starts with a B. Because next week we're getting The Well, which is supposed to be a sequel to Midnight.
Oh. Huh.
What was Midnight again?
The one where they're entrapped in like a vehicle and broke down on a planet and the creepy people.
Oh.
They get like the repeating monster where they all talk at the same time.
Yeah. Okay.
It's everybody's favorite fucking episode and it's me. It's mid.
Oh, get them in the comments. Get them.
We have a podcast where we talked about it. If anyone wants to know what my thoughts are, they can go find them. They're
out there. And then go fuck yourself.
No. I mean,
Belinda's now the second companion that the doctor has called Fred. Do you remember the first?
Nope.
We watched it recently.
Did we?
Oh, yeah.
The lady whose name is super long and we don't know how to say it.
No.
Romana.
Romana.
But her name is
Her real name is Romana and then a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
And he's like, can I call you Romana? And she says no. And he goes, well, it's either Romana or Fred. And she goes, Fred. I like that.
Were there any tweets on this one?
What a lovely question. Let's see. I have no idea.
While you're looking, what was his name? Mr. Pie?
Yep. Reginald Pie.
That was really sweet. Of that little scene with him and his wife and how she came back through the film and then became, like, real.
Oh, I thought it was all sad. Just to keep him there.
I thought Lux was just fucking with him, and I was, like, really mad about it. But then when she showed up to hand him the matches, I was like, oh, he, like, made a real, and that was very sweet.
A real. One with EA, one with EE.
Well, we do have an Instagram reply from Hollywood Knot. They also liked an old tweet of ours where you were holding up the blanket you made, Terry, with the TARDIS on, with our logo on it.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to that blanket?
I have it.
It is owned.
No, nobody wanted it, so I still have it.
All right. So Hollywood Knot say is less thoughts than last week. So far this season is 2 for 2, though. Pod Preteen loved it too. We're still saying polish, but have also started the school run with the Mr. Ringeting song for the last couple days. Also, apologies for capitalizing polish last week. Hey, it's just hard to read, man.
That's polish.
It's actually so wonderful not only enjoying Doctor Who thoroughly, but also being overwhelmingly excited for each new episode. I've not felt this way since season 10, I don't think, where each week I was genuinely buzzing to watch more Who. Alan Cumming is MVP. He's also my MVP for Witchfinders. Cannot believe this was 7 years ago already. Jesus. Favorite line was, I'm a two-dimensional character. You can't expect a backstory. So good. It's funny. That's like the only line we repeated.
That's a good one.
Final point. Justice for Terry. He's my MVP for the podcast. Oh, I'm not reading this.
Oh, no. Redacted.
No, don't let him know.
Dang it.
You can't.
They go on. I re-listened to the Witchfinders, and I agreed with him on everything, as always. He's also made a quote with your logo on, a legend that I'll love forever. All right, so some bullshit about Terry. We don't need to worry about that. And, yeah. Oh, I wonder what we were saying in the Witchfinders that Terry was so good
about.
I don't know. You'll have to listen to it again.
It had to be outfits. What else would you talk about?
I don't know. Character development? Cinematography?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Oh, the one thing you've never mentioned ever. Cinematography. Hey, Terry.
Hey, what?
Who's your MVP?
Alan Cumming.
Hey. Dare I ask Cody?
No.
Sam?
Ring-a-ding.
It's Alan Cumming for the whole household.
Alex.
I'm going to go the VR. Fuck, what is that called? It's not VR.
Visual effects?
AR?
The visual effects. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a team of animators. It wasn't a big team. 3 or 4 people worked on it for 2 months straight. You know, 24 frames a second, or they were doing 25 frames a second. It's a lot of drawings. Jill?
I think it's still Belinda.
She was good?
Yes. And I agree with you, Jill. I believe more than the last 5 companions we've had in just a 2-episode span, she's already, like, actually had character development.
Liquor.
And character development doesn't always have to be like, oh, I'm learning how to be a good person, or like, I'm becoming like the doctor. It could just be like simple, small things of like, I don't want to do this, to like, oh, I understand what it is that like makes people want to do this. I am repeating last week, and I'm going to set design. I thought the diner set was great. The movie theater set, that was a set. They didn't go find a theater. Thought that was great. They made up that old theater on the outside to make it look like Miami, and they were in rainy, windy Cardiff.
Oh.
It was 50 degrees, and they were freezing. All right, Terry, while I get the Ken Jennings quiz book ready, give me 1 minute of whatever you would like to talk about.
Oh, no.
It's all right. I've got it ready.
Oh, okay. I was like, starting when?
Jill, mm-hmm. Why don't you decide? I've got 2 categories here. One is called Bottled Up, and it has to do with wine. And one is called Going Long, and it's just random things that are really long.
Going long.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, Jill, you go first.
Okay.
You're not going to get this, but that's okay.
Cool. Those are my favorite.
Who filibustered for a record 24 hours and 18 minutes with a urine pail standing at the ready in the hope of preventing the Civil Rights Act of 1957?
Jeez.
This came up very recently in news.
But how many times was the pail used?
I think it was just at the ready, maybe not actually used.
I don't know any names from 1957.
Well, it is kind of apropos given the subject matter of the story we're talking about, but Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, and his record was recently broken, like, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Alex, what kind of animal was Harriet, who died at the Queensland Zoo in 2006 and was claimed to have belonged to Charles Darwin?
Oh, I know this.
A panda bear?
No, it's a tortoise.
No, yeah, it's got to be something Liz real long, yeah. Alex. It's a tortoise. Sam, you can't keep your mouth shut, so now you get to go next.
No, that was
what
mine.
Album?
He guessed. That's not fair. I waited.
What album spent a record 741 weeks on Billboard's top 200 albums chart?
The Beatles.
What album?
The self-named Beatles album.
Nope, Dark Side of the Moon. Mm. Cody? According to the Bible, who died at the ripe old age of 930?
And what?
Oh, I think I know this one too.
What was the question again?
According to the Bible, who died at the ripe old age of 930 years old?
Oh. I don't know.
Adam.
Oh.
What an
from
old
Adam
head.
And Steve. Carrie, what is the subject of Claude Lanzmann's award-winning 9-hour film Showa?
That'll
think of his last name.
Showa?
What Showa might mean. What? No, that's the name of the film. His name is Claude Lanzmann.
What the fuck? World War II.
Almost. It's about the Holocaust.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
Claude Lanzmann, the most Jewish name ever.
Really? Anyway.
Back to you, Terry. Having first aired on September 27th, 1954, what's the longest running show on American nighttime television?
Oh, no. Nope. No idea. I Love Lucy.
Yep, that still running television show
Yep.
I love Lucy.
Five generations
The Tonight Show.
I was like, it's got to be one of those news ones at night.
I thought it'd be The Simpsons, but that's not a...
Well, it's not... at nighttime TV, I know, so it's going to be a late show.
Okay.
Cody, when he stepped down in 2008 after almost 50 years, who was the world's longest-serving political leader? The person he supplanted was referenced in this episode of Doctor Who we just watched.
I even listened to the question.
I wouldn't have an answer anyway.
Fidel Castro. When in Lux, when they're talking to the guy at the diner getting coffee and he mentions the 15 missing people, he goes, "We just thought they are abducted recruits for," and then they say some guy's name and I can't remember it now, but he was like he was about to overthrow the government in Cuba and become the president again. Which really narrows down when this takes place. It's somewhere between February and April of 1952. Because they also say that the queen is on her 16-week mourning from her father dying. All right, Sam. The Tibetan county of Zhangdian has officially renamed itself what? After the Valley of Long Life from the novel Lost Horizon.
This is an easy one.
I don't even know what he's asking. A name of something.
Tibetan County, Zhangdian, renamed itself what? After the Valley of Long Life from the novel Lost Horizon.
Literally no idea. I got tortoise.
I'll give you a hint. It's the name of a Chinese restaurant I used to work at when I was in college.
I know. I don't know.
If it Shangri-La.
Wasn't, oh, I was like, if it's not Xingya, I don't got it.
Jill, the world's longest civil war has been going on in which country since 1948 when it was still British Burma?
Jeez. I can only think of peaceful countries.
Myanmar.
Ooh.
Alex.
Get
you it. Got a chance. Sorry, I take it back. You don't. The 74-minute maximum length of a CD was chosen, according to Philips Electronics, to accommodate what famous symphony?
I only have one guess.
Oh, I don't know the name of it, but is it the... dun, 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 bum, 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 bum.
Dance of the Flowers.
I don't know.
It's the
it's Beethoven's Ninth.
Okay, it's used in is that one used in A Space Odyssey? Because it was the same song. Also, I think that song was also put on the Voyager. That's like the farthest man-made satellite that's out. Like, if it's ever found, it has that song on it or something.
Is Alex just trying to get extra points during this quiz?
No, I'm saying I knew it. I just don't know the name of a song. I famously ask anyone I play music with, I don't know titles of songs. I know how they start and how they sound.
It's about a trivia.
That's okay. I don't know who really sings the songs.
Is Jake dead?
It might be.
I was playing the music.
Yeah, can you play it out loud?
Is it working?
It was out loud.
Couldn't hear it.
Out louder?
It's got to be loud.
Hey,
you can hear that?
The sound of a train?
Where was the 9 o'clock train, Jake?
What's the sound of a train?
Can you not hear this?
No, not at all.
Nope.
No.
Just sing it.
Here. I help.
It's louder than I am talking, so I don't know how you can hear me and not that.
Not at all.
All right. Anyone else got anything they want to say before we fuck off?
Mm-hmm. I got nothing.
Sorry, nothing. Just checking my notes.
All right, Alex, give us the song.
Terry, you never went off on the outfits.
They were good.
I did say her boobs are falling out.
Yeah, but she looked stunning in that dress.
What about Shuddy's wingtips? They were fucking baller, too.
Yeah. And he had a bow tie. And hairstyles were great. They were so good.
Yeah, I like how the two times we've seen him now do this wardrobe thing, they never mentioned the wigs. Give us some wig work. I want to see him in there picking stuff out and like who's doing their hair.
I said that to Cody. I was like, he said closet, not barbershop.
Right.
Well, does he have the same hair from the last episode? Like, it was a little longer in the last episode.
It was his actual hair at the beginning of this episode, and then he stepped into the room and his hair was longer when he came out.
And gelled. So yeah, it was styled more in the era.
Yeah, it was like that that kind of Cuban style from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
The wave?
Yeah.
It looks sick.
Yeah, we did kind of gloss over all the race references, but what are you going to do?
I like that they brought it up.
Yeah, they didn't hide from it, which is one criticism we always have. So that was neat.
Especially from like the man that gave us the first ever black companion and then did nothing with it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us a song, Alex. This has been Married to Who, our episode on Lux. If you'd like to participate with us, give us your thoughts, you can do so by following us on Twitter at Married to Who Pod, or on Blue Sky at Married to Who, or on Instagram Married to Who. You can also listen to any episode we have on our website, marriedtowho.com. On behalf of myself, Jake, Terry, our producer, Cody, Sam, Jill, and Alex, thank you so much for listening. Please join us next time for The Well, I think. We'll call it that. Do